price of service, service or quality. You can't have all three. You can't have the lowest price and the best service. Is that possible? Maybe sometime. So here's the key. Are they comparing your product or service to a used car or to a Rolls Royce? Are they? Because they need to be able to compare it to something. What is the value? My wife loves to play the piano. I bought her this beautiful grand piano. It was there for 2 weeks. We have children in the house and it quit working. Three of the keys stopped working. So we got to the yellow pages and we called up a repair person. The person came over, sat down, went like this, lifted this up, did this, pulled out a pencil. And it worked. How did I feel? Kind of stupid? Now wait, let's back up. What is my perception? Do I really need to pay this person that took them 5 seconds? Okay. That's what I'm thinking. Well, wait a minute. 5 seconds. But he's thinking, I've got 30 years experience. That's how I can do it so fast. So, if he charges me, will I pay? Yes. Will I ever call him back? No. And he knows it. So what he did was beautiful. He says, you know what? It happens all the time. It's hard to find. What I do for a living. But you know what? You need to tune this piano every 4 months. And that's what I do. I'm not going to charge you for this visit, but I'd love to tune it. And guess what? He kept the business because of that perception. That perception is so important. So you have to take a look. What is your product worth? For example, if I pulled out, let's see if I have any money here. Oh, I do have some money. $20 bill here. And I'm going to sell it for a dollar. First dollar up, forget. There you go, see? Got lots of movement there. Now, did you have to think about it? For a second. Hey, wait a minute. But that's what it needs to be. Is that a no-brainer? If you're selling $20 bills for dollars, does that become a no-brainer in their mind? That's what your product needs to be, isn't it? That's a no-brainer. Now, on the flip side, can I sell this dollar for $100? Anybody have $100? I'm going to sell this $1 bill for $100. So it's a nice dollar bill. Let me read you the serial number. 557-40289-L. And this one has a special picture of George Washington. But wait. There's more. I will throw in a 1 hour free consult with me over the phone, anytime you want, within your product or service. There you go. Thank you very much. Make sure you get with Natasha back there to get you on the radar screen. And we're going to have that exercise for you. Later on, we're going to have you sell your dollars for $20. We'll talk about that. But it's all about the value. You see how that works? So let's talk about this. It's the human perception. It's how we think about things. It's like if you put your foot in a cold ice water and a foot in hot water, and you took both feet and put them into lukewarm water, what's going to happen? And that's what contrast is. You have to create the value, because if you don't give them something to compare it to, in fact, I have another bill here. Can we sell another bill? Let's see what we have here. $500. $500. Doesn't matter, it says $500. All right, I'm selling this $500 bill. This Thailand. How much we want? Sell it for $100. Get $500 for $100. A buck? It's just $500. It has, I don't know who that is. But it's pink. This is a special pink and purple ink from Africa. Any takers? $100. $500 for $100, a no-brainer. Nobody? Oh, sure, for this I'd take a credit card. See what's going on in your mind right now? Why aren't you jumping like before? You can't have nothing to compare it to, do you? And that's what people, when they see a product or a home, automatically the benchmark, they're looking for something to compare it to. So if you don't give them something to compare it to, they will assign one themselves. And you don't want that. That's why I say, are they comparing your product to your home to a used car, or are they comparing it to a Rolls Royce? This is why it's so frustrating. You need to compare this to what? What's it worth in dollars? This is worth about, I think, about $13. So now you have something to compare it to. Now you're like, I don't know. Now I'll sell for $100. But wait, no. There's more. You have mechanics. If you went into a mechanic, your car's smoking, you're having all these noises, and the mechanic says, oh, I don't think it's that bad. It'll probably be about $200. You go to lunch, you come back, and you find out it's $1,500. What happened? You're mad. You are mad. But if you pull in, the mechanic says, wow, I heard transmission. I heard your engine. It might be this, this, and this. You probably need a new car. I might be able to fix it for $4,000 or $5,000. And you come back, and it's only $1,200. How do you feel? You feel the difference? That's what you're doing. That's the contrast. That's the value you're building. That's why we always start off high in negotiation. That's why you see insurance. Well, how much is the insurance? Well, it's probably about $600. That establishes the value. Then what happens? Well, you're a good driver, non-smoker. They bring it down, they bring it down. But they establish the value. You always want to start high. Does that make sense? Door-to-door donations. It's amazing. Children learn this very fast. Yeah, your neighbor just gave they're collecting for the American Red Cross, and you get your $5 bill out, and they say, yeah, your neighbor just gave me $100. What happened? Pull out a little more. What usually happens? Negotiations. We're going to teach you that we always start high or low to build the value. We've talked about that. Weight loss pictures. This is contrast, too. What's the before picture look like? Right, they're hanging out with black and white. They're frowning. What's the after picture look like? Right, they're sucking it in. They're tan. It's in color. Yep. That's contrast. Now, I have my students at the university write a letter to their parents asking for money. I don't have them send it, but it's an exercise in contrast to see if they can get, to see if they were to ask for money, if they could get it. Now, let me read this to you. It says, Dear Mom and Dad, I hope this letter finds you both well and happy. I wish you could see that's how I feel. I know you love me, but it's hard to come to you with such an embarrassing situation. Now, I don't want you to worry too much. I can see Mom now already skimming through this letter to find out exactly what is wrong. So I'll just cut to the chase. I'm really worn out, but I'm getting better. At least I have a place to stay, especially during this cold winter weather. The last couple of weeks, I've been sleeping on the streets looking for food and shelter. I finally met this nice man who's letting me stay in his room for free. It's a daughter, by the way, if I guess you figured that one out. Sometimes I still get wet at night, though, because there's a crack in the wall on the side of the bed. But with five of us sharing the room, we've got some body heat going, and that helps out. We hope that between the five of us, we can make rent this month. We sure have been nice letting me stay here and let me keep out of sight. Seems that there's some type of worn out for me, and I'm unfortunately on the run, as they say. I'm afraid I can't tell you exactly where I am. I don't want to endanger you with too much information in case the authorities come to question you. As you may guess, I'm in a desperate need of a large sum of funding so that I can settle my accounts before another more ruthless party begins to hunt me down. I was hoping for, but not counting on, your assistance. I know I've done wrong, but I plead for your forgiveness and prayer. Just kidding. I wanted you to see my problems in the proper perspective. I crashed my car last weekend. No one was hurt. I did have $300 in damage to my car, though. I was wondering if you could send me the money so I could get back on my feet. Love you forever, Jill. Now you're thinking, what? Take it. You want more? Take it. If they would just want to come to you. Now, if you ever get a letter like this, it might be kind of fishy, but this is just the contrast of what they're asking for is nothing. If they would have led with that, I crashed my car, what's the response? It'd be much different. Much different. Supermarkets. Have you ever noticed on supermarkets when they have the price tags, they don't put the price tags over the old price tag? Or retail if you're buying clothes. Do you notice this? So you can see what? Yeah, well, it was once 120, then it went down to 80, then it's down to 60, and so the value's there, now you're only getting it for 40. They do that in supermarkets too. Candy stores. This is amazing. You ever bought chocolate by the pound? Some of them aren't trained right. They come up and they just say, they pour it on. I'm sitting there and they pour a little more on. They pour more. They pour more. And what happens inside? And you're getting excited. They pour it and you get your pound. Now, what if somebody would pour it on there and they start taking it away? Taking it away. Now, how do you feel? It's a different feeling? That's why they train them to just do it a little bit at a time. Because if they take it away, you're feeling a little violated. Airline delay announcements. Do they let you know you have a 4-hour delay? What do they do? 15 minutes here, half an hour here, because they know that the people don't get as tense that way. They would tell you the truth. people would go nuts. And it's kind of like the lines at Disneyland or any amusement park. You look at it, not too bad. You go through little turnstiles. You think you're almost there. You go around the corner, and what do you see? Another thing. You go through there. You think you're done. Same type of thing. So let's talk about it. One thing you could do to build value is to reduce it to the ridiculous. Has anybody heard that term before? Reduce it. What does that mean? Reduce it to the ridiculous. No, not necessarily that. This is to where, go ahead. Hercules? I haven't seen that one. It's this simple. Well, for the cost of a can of soda a day, does that make sense? For an extra 11 cents a day, for the cost of a cafe latte a day. So if you're selling an insurance policy to someone, they want the $250,000 life insurance, and you think $500 is better suited for their family, and you say, look, what we're talking about is an extra $250,000 for your family, and it's only 72 cents a day. You see that? Just reduce it down to what we're talking about here. For the soda, for the coffee, 10 cents. You're selling a photocopier for the, this is going to last 10 years longer. What that means is that you're saving this amount. You reduce it down. That builds the value. Another one, too, I want to point out is what we call sweetening the pot. It's used to make the deal sweeter. And it's all in packaging. It's all in contrast. I know if you teach university students and you give them a 20-page paper, what's going to happen? Or if you give them a 10-page paper, automatically what happens? They groan and complain. So I use contrast. It's pretty simple. I start off, I say, okay, I want a 20-page paper. I want these resources referenced. They whine and complain and moan. I'm like, oh, all right. Tell you what. If you do a 10-page paper and make it really good, really concise, and do the 3-page paper, I'll go ahead and take a 10-page paper. And then what? They cheer. They're excited. But I got what I wanted anyway. You see what happens? It's all in the packaging and how you do it. So sweeten the deal. Infomercials do this. How many of you watch an infomercial? Great study in persuasion, isn't it? About every 12 minutes, what are they going to ask for? They're going to ask for the order. There's going to be a call to action. And they put somebody on there. Well, in fact, what is the commercial that you see the most now, an infomercial? You see one that's coming up? There's the real estate one, the real estate packages. Have you ever bought it? Have you ever bought stuff off infomercials? Let's see your hands. All right. Why are infomercials on late at night? Yeah, our guard, it's cheaper and our guards are down. We're like, wow, it slices, it dices. You set it, then you forget it. Or the Flobee. Who saw the Flobee? Who has a Flobee? You see the Flobee? You know what I'm talking about? It's a Flobee is a hair cutting machine that hooks up to your vacuum cleaner. So it sucks your hair up and it cuts it. You see that one? There's some interesting things. But that's what they do. See, you're watching this infomercial. Let's say it's George Foreman Grill. You're watching it, and you automatically assume, well, that's interesting, and then you automatically assign it a price, don't you? It is worth, don't you, in your mind? It is worth, you know, $70. I'd pay $70 for that. Then you're watching it, and there's testimonials, and they say, what's the price? It's $300. They've set the value. You're like, oh, wow, that's... But then they keep going, and they say, but wait! There's more. You get the Ginsu knives. You get the Flobee. You get $1,000 worth of gifts. So that increases the value, doesn't it? And we're going to reduce it down. If you call now, we're going to reduce it down to $199. But wait, we'll also make it 3 easy payments of $99 for the next 3 months. So now you're getting $1,300 in value, and you only have to pay $99 a month when your initial reaction was it was too expensive. Infomercials do it very, very well. So it's just like this. If you're eating with someone, say, look, this is my final offer, Fred. I'll give you a 50% discount on all orders, free shipping for 6 months, 2 of my pickles, 1/2 of my fries, and my little packet of crackers. Okay? Simple. So this is how it works. This is very interesting. Right? So they did it was a bake sale. And they said if you bought a cupcake and 2 cookies, it cost 75 cents. Pretty good deal. Cupcake and 2 cookies, 75 cents, 40% bought. Now, here's the interesting thing. What we say, look, if you buy a cupcake, today, as a bonus, we'll give you 2 free cookies. So you buy a cupcake for 75 cents, and as a bonus, you get 2 free cookies. Now, same offer, right? Really? We went from 40% to 70%. So you want, and people will purchase just for bonuses, won't they? You're doing things on the internet. So you need to spread out your deal. You don't want to put it all together. sweeten the pot, sweeten the pot, sweeten the pot. Let's go. You have a list of this. And the same thing's true when you go buy a car. Or let's say you go buy a suit. Are they going to show you the $50 tie first, or are they going to show you the $800 suit first? They show you the suit. Because if they show you a $50 tie first, what's your knee-jerk reaction? That's expensive. I can get that down the street for $20. But after you bought a $100 suit, what's a $50 tie? That's another $100 for shoes. That's why when you buy a car, they don't say, do you want undercoating first? They sell you the car first, but after you spend $20,000 on a car, what's another $50 for undercoating? Does anybody know what undercoating is? Most people don't even know. They really don't even need it, but it's one of those things. And that's what they just keep adding on, because that's contract. Now, report. So what I want you to do is you need to have some type of bonus to give people. Can you give them a report? Can you give them a coaching session over the phone? Free delivery, gift wrapping, batteries, extended warranty, free consulting. As infopreneurs, people that market information, can you record a CD and give that to somebody? Have you recorded a CD before? It's so easy to do. If you're working with foreclosures, could you record a CD on the 17 mistakes people make when their home's going into foreclosure and hand it to somebody? You think that would put you on the top of the list? Called reciprocity. You have to watch ego. Ego when we do these different things. And here's something that was really interesting. I was training some, they weren't car repair, they're called auto technicians now. We verbally package that. They don't want to be called car repair, they're auto technicians. And something was really interesting, and just see if you can read through this. A man would pull up, strange sound in the car, the mechanic would lift the hood. Oh, it's this. There you go. No charge. Now, a woman would do that. Oh, it's this. No charge. We just love your business. The woman would always come back, but the man never would. Why? Now, human psychology says if you do something nice for somebody, you give a gift to somebody, they're going to want to repay that. Isn't that true? It's called reciprocity. But the woman would come back, but the man wouldn't. Why? Felt stupid. Man's supposed to know what? Everything. Man's supposed to know everything. He's looking at the car. It was such a simple thing. The woman's not expected to know that. So how would you fix that? You're the auto technician. You could take a little longer if you had the time, or you could just package it. Look, this is really hard to miss. It's taken me a long time to figure these out. This is how I know. Just let them not know that's something that you know. Yeah. Or maybe even charge them. That would be one way to do that. Or you can shift focus. This is kind of interesting. Hotels do this, where they have a little thing they put on your bathroom. It says, save the environment. We're not going to change the sheets on your bed until you ask us to. We're not going to give you new towels unless you throw them on the floor. And because we're going to save the earth. And if you want your towels washed, you're a bad person. Isn't that what it kind of says? Now, but reality is, why are they doing that? They're saving money, but they're putting it on to you. There was a university in Colorado that put up all these signs that says, don't walk on the grass. Don't walk on the grass. Don't walk on the grass. And what do students do? So they shifted the focus to give Earth a chance. Give Earth a chance. And it actually helped quite a bit. Helped quite a bit. And now here's shifting focus too. This is really interesting. It says, what fits your busy schedule better, exercising 1 hour a day or being dead 24 hours a day? Shifting focus. Now, part of this is understanding DITF, or door in the face. This is social code. DITF stands for door in the face, which means you come in with a large request expecting it to be rejected, but you've built the value, you know it's going to be declined, and then you come in with a second smaller request. I'm going to show you how this works in a second. You expect it to be declined, but you've established the value. You know you're going to reject your first offer negotiation, but you've built the value. You started at a certain point. You expect them to reject it, and the chances they accept the next one is much greater. Let me show you how this works. You got this down? Okay. Here we go. Blood drive. Hi, sir. Will you donate every 2 months for the next 3 years? And what's the answer? Why? Blood's a good thing. But that's just what? It's too big. And they say, okay, will you donate once? Will you donate today? We have a blood drive here. 49% yes. Yeah, said yes. Now here's the difference to what I put out. When they went up to somebody and said, will you donate blood today? 31% said yes. But when they did the double whammy, the door in the face, will you donate every 2 months for 3 years? No. Will you donate today? 49%. You see the difference? Just by adding that one thing. Does that make sense? College study. Will you do a 15-minute survey? Is that a long time? College? 15%, 25% complied. Then they said, will you do a 2-hour survey? No. Well, will you do the shorter 15-minute one? 50% complied. It doubled their compliance rate just by adding that one piece. And that's why when you go to buy a TV, did we talk about the TVs yesterday? They show you the $800 one? That's been teleconference. You go, you decide on an $800 TV, and you go in there, what are they going to show you? The $4,000 TV. And statistically, you're going to walk out with what? $1,500 TV. Cars are the same way, pool tables the same way. That's part of the contract. So how do you use it? You want to start high, but it needs to be somewhat realistic. Remember we talked about getting that standard yesterday? You want to get a no. And timing. It needs to be presented sequentially. It needs to be close. You can't do one week and the one the next week. If you just caught your 12-year-old taking the car out for a joyride, are you mad? If your 35-year-old son talked about the time when he was 12-year-old and took the car for a joyride, are you mad? You know, there's timing. There's space in between. So what I point out, if you're going to use this, it has to be sequential. You have to do it in the same breath, within the, at least 5 minutes. You can't do one week and one the next week. But start high, it has to be realistic. So what I want to do, you guys get that? Good? Don't think about getting fired, think of it as a 100% tax cut. How's that for packaging? What I want to do is, Tasha, we have any dollar bills back there? Okay. I am going to hand out dollar bills to you. $1 bills. Let's see, sequential serial number, I don't know. With George on them. I'm going to give you a little exercise. You can do it in the next couple days, and there will be a reward and a punishment. We'll publicly humiliate you, know it. We'll give you a reward. I'll tell you what. All I want you to do is sell this dollar bill for $20. Not to my staff, not to me, to the people in this room or the people you meet. And doing that, I have a series called Present with Power, audio series that I will give you. You can sign up in the back once you've done this. I will give it to you for free if you can sell this dollar for $20. So the question is, how are you going to do that? It comes up with what? A smooch. All right, she's giving smooches for her dollar for $20. What else could you add to it? A consult? Some products? I just want to, you just say, I'm selling you my dollar for $20. Then you say, but wait, there's more. And you can add whatever you want. Whatever has more value to do this. This is your exercise. I'll reward you for doing it. Do you have enough? Dollar for 20. Any questions on it? So we're going to take a break right now. Yeah? I have an audio series called Present with Power. It's on presentation and persuasion skills. I will give that to you. So once you do it, get with Tasha in the back, and we'll have a sign-in sheet, and we'll send it out to you. Any questions? Are you ready to go? Are you great? So here you have it. We're going to take a 10-minute break, a little longer, so you can talk to each other, see, and we'll talk about some success again. You have a couple days to do this. Let everyone try it. But wait! There's more! All right, so let's take a break. All right. Did anybody sell? Anybody work? Who's done it? Oh, you got a $50 bill. Wow. So somebody share with me that did it. How'd they do it? How'd you get your 50? You twisted her arm, so you used coercion. Oh, so dinner. Okay. Who else sold their dollar for 20? That's all right. How'd you do it? A massage. Wow, that would work. What else? How'd you do it? We got the people up here that sell each other their 20, but they don't exchange it. I see you getting creative. I don't know if that counts. Anybody else sell their dollar for 20? How'd you do it? Okay, discount on a property. An $18 discount. Well, you have till tomorrow to do this, so just keep thinking about it. You massage? Oh, well, we have to figure out how that one works. So what we've been talking about is, why are people resisting you? So if you haven't persuaded them, you didn't give them a reason, you've been focusing on the features and the benefits, we've talked about contrast. When they think it's too expensive, you've blown it. You need to build the value. Build the value. The next one, any questions on that so far? You all right? All right. The next one is the risk versus the reward. Is it too risky? And this is a big challenge, too. Many of you raise your hands that are doing network marketing, and the reward is great, but what's the risk? What could be the risk of joining a network marketing company? Company goes under? Lose all your friends? Never make any money? Was it Robert Allen called the NFL Club, Rhett? Does that mean no friends left? Isn't that true? So when you hear, let's talk about objections a little bit, the risk versus the reward. How are we going to take a look at this? When someone joins a network marketing company, and this is real estate, true for anything, and they say, it's too expensive, I can't afford it, I don't have the time, are those the real objections? Or are they just knee-jerk? The real issue is, they can't see themselves talking to their family and friends. Isn't that true? They can't see themselves talking to their family and friends. They can't see themselves doing it, so they come up with these other reasons. If they can't see themselves moving into that house, if they can't see themselves working the product or using the product, it's never going to matter. And that's what the interesting thing is when we talk about objections. Are objections good? They can be. But are they the real objection? Typically not. And most people solving, if they give you a knee-jerk reaction, it's too expensive, it's not true, but you're trying to solve it. You have to find the real objection. But here's an amazing thing that's very important for you to understand. If you're listening to this. The objection you get the most is the objection you still have yourself. Think about this. It's amazing. As I study persuaders, the objection you get the most is the objection you haven't solved within your heart. If you think your product, your home is too expensive, you're going to get that. Because I can see two persuaders, and they're always getting the same presentation, same type of personality, but they're each getting different objections because they're getting the objections that are scaring them the most. The objections they haven't solved and solved themselves. So if you think to yourself, what is the objection you're getting the most, you have to go back and kind of figure out, do you really believe in your product or service? Do you really believe it's worth that? Do you really believe that your service is worth what you're charging? It's a very important concept. It's very important to understand that. The objection you get the most is the objection you still have. So let's talk about this risk. One way to reduce risk is what we call involvement. You involve their five senses. You get them to participate in the process. How can you get them involved? How can you get them to taste, a touch, a feel? On infomercials, what do? Free trial. Get it in their hands. Get them to use it. Decrease the distance. Get them to participate. How can you get them to participate in the persuasion process? If you go to your neighbor, hey, can you help me build a fence, what are they going to say? No. But if you say, hey, can you help me out? I know you've done this before. Can you give me your opinion? Can you help me out here? Well, it's different. They'll probably help you build a fence. Now, Kurt Lerwin, he did the studies. This was during one of the World Wars. And they didn't have enough meat to go around. So the government commissioned him to get people to eat more intestinal meats. For some reason, Americans don't like intestinal meats. They eat it in Europe and other countries. And I'm not talking hot dogs. I'm talking about intestines and stomach. Now, does that sound good to you? Yes. So it's good. Some people really like it. But for some reason, we don't eat them here in the United States. So he says, okay, go get people to eat more intestinal meats. Because it's being wasted and something you can eat. So they did a big seminar, brought in a lot of housewives and other people. Big seminar on eating intestinal meats. Here's some recipes. This is how you cook it. Do it for your country. Please, rah, rah, rah. 3% went home to cook intestinal meats for their family. But then they shifted it up a little bit. They brought people in, put them around a table. They talked about it. Hey, we need your help. How can we get other people to cook more intestinal meats for their family? What would you do? And while they were talking about it, what were they doing? Selling themselves, persuading themselves, getting themselves involved. Went from 3% to 32% of those people went home to cook intestinal meats for their family. How can you get them involved? Cigarette smokers, they have a challenge quitting. They had greater success when they went to go to pretend to go tell their family that they had cancer or emphysema or to visualize themselves dying. Got them more involved, more cigarette smokers quit. Visualization we talked about. Pet stores, what do they do? How do you get people involved? You ever heard of the puppy dog clothes? You're good walking down the mall, 4-year-old daughter, and you look at the puppies and she wants to go pet them. You're like, no. Okay, we'll pet them, but no, 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 dog, no, 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 no. And so he's petting the puppies, and the store owner comes over, and no, 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 just take it home for the weekend. If you don't like it, bring it back. And what happened? In the car industry, they call it the itch cycle. Have you heard of the itch cycle before? Every 3 or 4 or 5 years, you feel like buying a car. So what do they do? You just bought, let's say you bought a Cadillac 4 years ago. They show up to your house with a brand new version. Just drive it around for 2 weeks. If you don't like it, bring it back. What happens? Why do you buy it? Your friends have seen you in it. They've complimented you in it. It's hard to go back to an old car after driving a new car. Getting them involved. Getting involved. Let them taste it, touch it, feel it, use it. Give them a free session. Give them a free service. Get them to use it. Cable subscriptions. Same type of thing. Giving someone a free 6 months of cable, does that increase the odds they're going to keep it? Give somebody, I think the car company's now giving 6 months of free XM. Is that going to have more subscriptions than if you bought a car and say, oh, you have to activate it. You have to pay money now. Because they don't know what they're missing. America Online. How many America Online CDs have gone through your fingers in the last 10 years? Hundreds? They are still one of the biggest internet providers because of that CD. Because of that CD. Just think about it. Free 1,000 hours. Oh, I've got nothing to lose. You try it out. You start emailing your friends. You get the email address. And you just keep it. You get people involved. Reduces the risk. Test drive CD clubs. You get how many for a penny? 12 or 14 for a penny? Same type of thing. Post-it notes. How many love post-it notes? Aren't they great? They were a complete failure. When they launched post-it notes, failure. Because nobody knew the benefit. So they look at it, the feature was, oh, it's a sticky thing. What does that mean? Because until you use them, it doesn't make any sense. Is that, would you agree with that? Because it's something that's so unique. So they stopped making them. They took their inventory and they sent a large box to all the assistants of all the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies to use, to get out there. And people would get paperwork with post-its on it. And then that changed everything, getting people involved, especially when it's a really unique product. And you have to understand, too, it's keeping them involved. The bored mind says no. A confused mind says no. Now, here's something really important to understand about this. Most people's attention span is 13 to 18 minutes. And your job is to keep their attention. Now, when somebody's confused, will they stop you and say, wait, I didn't understand that? Rarely. People don't do that. And for my network marketers out there, and this is true, especially with real estate analysts, let's use a network marketing example. How many of you have a network marketing had someone start drawing circles on the board? What does that mean? It's the compensation plan. Everybody know what a compensation plan is? You do here, and if this person does it, and this person does it. Now here's the interesting thing. Everybody does that, but 90% of the people, when they see a compensation plan in network marketing, didn't get it. And then the network marketer says, did you see the power of it? Do you see that, how cool that is? And what does the prospect say? Oh, yeah. Because they don't want to look stupid. So you're dealing with real estate terms that you use all the time that make perfect sense to you. You need to make sure they understand because they're not going to stop you. A confused mind says no and a bored mind says no. So keep their attention. Ask questions. Use stories. Use startling statements. Keep their attention. What do you think you can do to keep their attention? Make sure they understand, because they're not going to stop. They don't want to look stupid. Could be your terminology you're using, something that you explain to them. Very important. Or ask their opinions and advice. I need your help. What's your opinion? Do you think about it? Ask them. Get them involved mentally, physically. Anybody have toured the plants in Hershey, Pennsylvania, the chocolate plant? It's not even the real plant. And how much does it cost? It's free. A free tour? I can take all my children on a free tour of the Hershey chocolate plant? Let's go. And you get in this little thing, you're riding around, you see them making the M&Ms. And what are you smelling? Smelling chocolate. Do we like the smell of chocolate? Most people do. And then you get off free. That was sure nice of them. You get off the ride and they hand you a Hershey kiss. And then you eat it, and that was good. And then, bam, you go down this little aisle of the staircase, and where are you? The world's largest chocolate gift store, where they have 25-pound Hershey Kisses that you can buy. I don't know what you would do with them. And there's chocolate Hershey ice cream, and there's smells and things happen. Do they make more money doing that for free than if they would have charged for the tour? They get people involved, getting them involved, getting them involved. Any way you can do that. Repetition does that. It increases understanding and retention. This is really important to help their understanding. Now, when I say repetition, what I say is don't repeat it, repackage it. What do I mean by that? Yeah, say it a different way. You can say it three or four times, but you can use a story once, a statistics another time. Just repackage it. Repackage it, repackage it. And if somebody's mad or upset, get them involved. Or not participating. I think it's Sunset Pier. Has anybody been to Key West before? Is it Sunset Pier? Is that the where everybody... Is it Sunset Pier? Do you remember? Anyway, they have the sword swallowers and the jugglers and everybody trying to get money. And nobody wants to be the first person to watch. If there's a lot of people congregated around, we feel safe. But if no one's sitting there watching, do we go up right in front of them and stand there? Most people don't. And so I was watching, and they would get people to come participate, people to come help. More people would come around, more people would get involved. But the people they get involved were the first ones to pay them. Same type of thing. Get them involved. How can you do that? So repetition, repackage, repackage, repackage. Involvement. And now in NLP, have you ever studied NLP before? Neuro-linguistic programming? There's five senses, but the main prominent ones are visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. And that comes back to word choice. Now when you listen to people's words, how do visual people talk? How do visual people that primarily use their sight, how do they talk? You see what I'm saying? Do you see what I mean? Do you see where we're going? It's not clear to me. Not focusing on what you're saying. You see these words? Now, what was an auditory person going to say? I hear you. Hear what I mean? It doesn't click for me. The words they use. And a kinesthetic person, which is feeling, he says what? Yeah, I don't feel it. Just doesn't feel right. I'm not getting that vibe. It just doesn't feel right. And it helps you connect with them if you actually start adopting some of those words. You grasp what you're saying. All comes of those things. It's kind of an interesting science to study. You even have things like Walmart, the greeters. Why do they have greeters at Walmart? Pause the frame of mind. Shrinkage, which is theft, dropped 15-20%. Because you're no longer anonymous. You've been involved. People shop longer. People buy more. Getting people involved any way you can. Part of this, too, this is critical to understand, is your guarantee. Let's talk about guarantees. Getting involved. Keeping them interested. I was doing a training once at a Lazy Boy. There was a furniture store where there's all these Lazy Boys, and they were all sitting in the Lazy Boys while I was training them. Is that a good thing? No, a little too relaxed. A little too relaxed. Now, let me talk about guarantees. This is really important to understand because you're going to have you write your guarantee. When people and the risk isn't there, and this a guarantee is only used when you're sitting on the fence. You never really want to lead off with a guarantee unless it's a time guarantee. I'm only going to take 10 or 15 minutes. So if they're sitting on the fence, you need to have some type of guarantee. Your guarantee should be so powerful that they say, I've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. You're handing them the parachute. You need to take the risk. Is that fair? Doesn't matter. Are some people going to take advantage of it? Probably. But a good guarantee will double and triple your sales, double and triple your business. Now, this type of box, I would use, say, like at, if I was speaking like at a Harv Eker event or a Ron LeGrand event, I'd have this box, and I have a guarantee. 90 days, taste it, touch it, feel it, it's on everything that I say, return it, no questions asked, and I'll give you $100 just for trying. And you should say, okay, I've got nothing, I got everything to gain, he's going to try it out. I've taken all the risk. Now, here's the thing. Are there people out here that will duplicate everything on here, keep it, and send it back, and get the $100 from me? That's not fair. It happens. Now, 1 in every 10,000 people is dishonest. Is that about right? No, I don't know. I'm just saying that. These all know. But some people will, but I can't be worried about that because if it's going to double and triple what I do, I just can't worry about the people that are going to take advantage of it. Does that make sense? You need to have some type of guarantee. It will start doubling and triple what you do, a no-brainer guarantee. So if you're going to a home for a foreclosure, can you say something like, if you're trying to get in the door, here's a time guarantee. Give me 15 minutes of your time, and I'm going to show you 3 ways we can save your home. If you don't see how this is going to save your home and change your life, I'll give you $50 cash. Will that get you in the door? $100 cash? $200 cash? Better be good. I can't remember what I said. Give me 3. I said, I'll show you 3 ways to save your house. Give me 15 minutes, 3 ways here. If you don't see how this is going to benefit you, I'll give you $50 for your time. $100. Now practice your presentation before you do that. Well, let's look at worst case scenario. If that only worked 1 out of 100 times, would that be worth it to you? Oh yeah, one deal. Yeah. So what is, now we're going to teach you to be better than that. I would say it would work at least 60%, 70%, 80% of the time. Very few people ask for that money unless you really blow it, unless you really upset them, unless you really waste the time. You need to have that type of a guarantee. And you need to know that it's good. And then we want everyone to write a guarantee. Can you guarantee? Sometimes with real estate, if you're doing rentals, can you guarantee, look, live in this home for 6 months. If you don't like it, I'll let you move out for free. I won't hold you to your contract. I'll move you into another place. Is that risk? Are most people going to move? If you don't like the neighborhood, whatever it is. In fact, here's a guarantee that I use. There it is. It says, I'm so confident in my platinum persuasion training's ability to make you successful, I guarantee you will double your income or make at least $50,000 your first year, whichever is greater. If you don't get the results I promise, I'll refund your investment 100% plus $500 for your time. And you should say, oh, that's a no-brainer. Now, I have to be confident in my services. The reason I, now, we, if a school teacher wanted that guarantee, could we do that? You can't really guarantee. If someone's an entrepreneur or in real estate or network marketing, we know we could do that because the reason they're not making money is persuasion. And so we're able to do that. So what I want you to think about right now, what is your no-brainer guarantee for your product or service? And we're going to write it. We're going to share it as a group. And we're gonna, if you get stumped, raise your hand. We'll be walking around. What can you guarantee? Is it time? Can you guarantee? What can you guarantee? A percent? Their satisfaction, what can you guarantee? So they can say, oh, I've got nothing to risk here. Oh, everything to gain. So write your guarantee. Raise your hand if you get stumped. We've got people walking around to help you out. What is your guarantee? They're sitting on the fence. You need a guarantee. You want to bounce a guarantee off somebody? You're proud of it? We'll let you share. You could be the first one. What is your no-brainer, let's do business right now, I have no risk, everything to gain guarantee? And the more you can use a percent or a monetary amount, just like with your elevator speech, the more successful it's going to be. See, that's why I have a powerful guarantee, is I know we can do it with persuasion. That's such a missing ingredient for people. Now, this guarantee, you can customize your guarantee. Now, if I was going to talk to real estate agents or real estate investors, I would probably make, say you make at least $250,000 or double your income. This particular one is for network marketers. We know that from starting a network marketing company, teaching persuasion skills in a year, they can make $50,000. But real estate investors can make a lot more. You can make that in your first deal, your first commercial real estate deal, so we would up that number up. So you can customize it depending on the group. So let's hear, who had the guarantee back here? All right, let's hear it. All right, let's critique this and take notes if you like it. Yeah, tell us your product. What do you think? No brainer. Right? Oh, well, wow, you're taking all the risk. And you know you're good enough that you can do that. And that's the key. That's a no-brainer for you. And they say, oh, okay, let's do business. Where do I sign? Let's do it. Okay, good. I hope you heard that. There's another one. You got one? Go. Tell us your product. Your product. House, you're selling homes. Okay. And pay for what? And pay for your move. And that's what we see with a lot of audio video stores. Say, look, if you find a cheaper product anywhere else, what do? They'll match the price and they'll like double or triple it, won't they? Because people get the mindset, oh, I'll just look around, I can find it cheaper somewhere else. But with that guarantee, they have, if they find it, they get a refund, don't they? So they might as well buy it there. They've got everything to gain, nothing to lose, to buy that product right now. Because if they find it cheaper, they get a refund of that amount, or the difference, I guess I should say. All right, let's hear another one. Some good ones. I like this. Yeah. They kind of a little long. I don't know about the ifs in there. I wouldn't want to do any ifs. Just here's cut and dry. This is what we're going to do. $25, is that enough? $25 to float your boat? How much money can you put there? $25,000? I'm just $1,000? I just think you need a little bit more there. I think it's just a little simple. I'll put an exact amount. I want 10 minutes of your time. If this is not appropriate, whatever it is, I'll give you the $25 or the $50. Exact. The more exact you can get with the time and the numbers, the better it is. All right, let's have another one. There's a guarantee. Anybody stuck on having a guarantee? Anybody still stuck? You stuck? What's your product? So you're guaranteed a 12% return? In how much time? I guarantee a 12% return in 9 months, or, what's the or? Yeah, I'll make up the difference, or I'll give you $1,000, or you know, whatever it is, or I'll let you out of the deal. You make it up your pocket. You make it up out of your own pocket. You get the 15% return. Anybody else stuck? Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure what favorable outcome means. It's kind of vague. I was thinking they blared out into. Say, no, you want to get in the door, right? Period. I will stop your foreclosure. If I can't stop your foreclosure and help you save your home, I'll give you $50 or $100 for it. It'll take 10 minutes. If I can't stop the foreclosure, I'll give you $50 or $100. And again, only if that works one out of 20 times. But every once in a while, you can't save one. But you got in the door, you're talking to them. You might have other options. You might be able to refer them to somebody. You might get a referral fee.